So we're growing in God. I'm talking to you today about part four, the Holy Spirit and the anointing. Now, last week, we talked a little bit about the anointing. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about how to grow as a Christian, or how to restart your growth process if you've gotten stagnant. Now, one of the worst things in the world is rancid oil. Anybody ever get some rancid oil in your kitchen? Like, maybe you don't even know what rancid oil is, but when you smell it, you know it's gone bad. It's a terrible thing. You don't want to cook with it. You don't want to eat it. You don't even want to smell it. It's not a good thing. And stagnant water is no better. A stagnant Christian is probably even worse. So if you've been stagnant in your growth, it is so important that you get these messages on the inside of you, because we're learning how to grow again in the kingdom of God. You know, one thing is for certain, that we must continue to grow or we risk a slow decline, drift, and death in our relationship with Jesus. You know, don't be like that frog that you can boil slowly, where you just let the love of God in your heart grow cold over the years. No, you gotta force yourself to get better. Like my dad always says, you can't put a car in neutral and expect that it's going to go uphill. You always know that if you put a car in neutral, it will roll downhill. You cannot get into a boat in a river and not paddle. Otherwise, you will end up going over the waterfall. So make sure that you are investing in your life with Jesus Christ and growing on the daily basis so that you don't end up declining in a way that you don't expect. So we've been talking about the role of the Word of God in the past few weeks. We've been talking about the Bible, how we need to have right division of the Word of God. We've been talking about how we need the Bible to be Lord in our life, to follow and to become what the Bible says to be and to do. Now, we're about to share about the great need that we have for the Holy Spirit. Last week, I talked about the Holy Spirit as being the catalyst of change in our life. A catalyst is something that speeds up a reaction and makes something move faster without itself being changed. The Holy Spirit is the Lord, and He changes not. But He can help you and me to change more quickly. How are we going to change? Into the very image of Jesus Christ Himself. Man, we certainly need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to be exploring a little bit about the Holy Spirit's anointing in the life of a believer as a catalyst of growth. I hope that you guys are ready. It's going to bless you. So get ready. Take some notes. If you don't have notes that you're taking on, like a notepad or an iPad or something like that, you can go right to our website. You can download the PDF, and then you can print it out, or you can fill it in on your computer thing, or you can go right to our app. There is a notes section right in there, and then there's some great discussion questions at the end that you'll want to either have a private time with you and the Lord and going through those questions, or even better, join a connect group and get together and discuss those questions. Man, it is such a good forum to be able to develop deep, lasting, authentic relationships with people as you discuss the Word of God. Thank God you're not discussing my performance. You're discussing the Word of God, and it's going to be a blessing to you. So let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is God's agent of change and help on the earth today in the life of a believer. How many of you out there need change and help? I'm going to raise both hands on that. I need change and I need help. If you don't know that about me, hang around me for a little while. You'll know I need to change. You'll know that I need help by the Holy Spirit of the living God. You know, we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is necessary if we're going to grow to be like Jesus. Remember, Jesus couldn't even be like Jesus without the Holy Spirit. We can't be like Jesus without the Holy Spirit either. We need the third person of the Godhead presently in our life. So let me give you a couple of things that will just help you to be oriented to this message today. So the first thing is this, that when I share the word with you, anointing, the Holy Spirit is the same thing as the anointing, okay? He is the same thing as the anointing. What is the anointing? That word anointing, you might have heard it. Maybe it's Christian jargon and you've heard it tossed around in Christian circles. It's like, man, that person is anointed. You know, oh my goodness, that woman, she's anointed. No, you just think she's cute. No, but she was anointed too. But the anointing is this. The anointing is God's divine ability to get the job done. That is what the anointing is. In other words, the Holy Spirit is God's divine ability on earth to get the job done. The Bible calls him the Spirit of grace. Grace is God's divine ability. So he is the Spirit of God's divine ability. Man, I don't know about you, but I could use some of God's divine ability in my life. I need to go beyond what I'm capable of, and I need to tap into what God is capable of. You know why? The Bible says this, with men it is impossible. That would be me. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Well, happy Valentine's Day, gentlemen. If you need to love your wife, you know it is impossible to love her the way that you need to love her without the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of grace empowering you to love them the way that God wants you to love them. The Bible says, love your wife even as Christ loved the church. You know, it is a supernatural kind of love. Ladies, if you want to love your husband and be submitted to him, like the Bible says that the church submits to Jesus just as the wife submits to her husband, it's not being under the thumb of. It is a biblical type of submission that is a blessing and not a curse. You want to do that? Guess what? You're going to need the Holy Spirit, because God knows your husband needs the Holy Spirit, don't he? Yeah, we know. But it's all right. Thank God that we've got the Holy Spirit and we can do this thing. Amen? Would you look at your spouse? If you're married, look at your spouse and say, we can do this thing. We can do this thing. You know, kids, you need to have the Holy Spirit to be obedient to your parents. Hey, kids, would you look at your parents and say, I can do this? That was very quiet in this room. It's probably because of the facial coverings, I'm guessing. But you can do this. Kids, you can do this. Teenagers, you can do this. You can be obedient to your parents by the power of the Holy Spirit. I better get off that. Some people giving me some dirty looks already. Don't worry about it. I'm not afraid of dirty looks. I can handle dirty looks, all right? I want to give you a few things to, again, orient you to where we're going today. When you read your Bible, you have to understand that the Holy Spirit is all throughout the Bible. The Old Testament has just as much of the Holy Spirit in it as the New Testament does. It's just that it's concealed in a way that is revealed in the New Testament. Now, the Bible uses a lot of types and shadows and symbolisms so that you can understand what the Holy Spirit is like. So he's not exactly like this or exactly like that, but the Bible uses certain imagery to help us to understand what the Holy Spirit is like. Now, when you read these words in the Bible, what you can know is that the Holy Spirit is in those things, all right? So here's some things that the Bible gives us as illustrations of types and symbols of the Holy Spirit. Here's the first one, wind or breath. So in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, when God breathed the breath of life into Adam, it is the word pneuma in the Greek, or in the Hebrew, it's the word ruach. And it just means a blast or a breath. So God breathed the Holy Spirit into man and he became a living soul. The Bible talks about water as a type of the Holy Spirit. We'll come across this scripture later. But in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, he talks about the Holy Spirit like water. Here's another one, is clothing. The Bible says that wait until you be clothed with power from on high when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He talks about him like a vestment, you know, like clothing that we're wearing. That's how the Holy Spirit should be. Just like you don't like to be naked out in public. Yeah, you should not want to be naked without the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit to be on you. Don't be without him in your life. Here's another one. The Holy Spirit is like wine. You'll find that in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and then also in Ephesians chapter 5. And these scriptures are just cursory. You can find lots of examples of them. I just gave you one or two scripture references for each of them. Here's another one, fire. The Holy Spirit is like fire. The Bible talks about the gospel and the word of God being like fire shut up in our bones. Man, I like that. I got fiery bones on the inside. That's why I can't have cancer in my bones, because the fire of God just burns it out. That might be for somebody out there. Get the fire of God in you. Here's the next one, oil. And we're going to talk about this one quite a bit today. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. You know what's so cool about oil, and I'm not going to go real deep into this, is that oil is it can be used for so many things, right? It can be used as lubrication. Oil can be used as like a salve to be able to help wounds to heal. Oil can be used so that things are not squeaky anymore, right? Oil can be used in a lot of different ways. And what's interesting is oil has a residue. Say residue. If you don't believe me, let your kids eat a donut and then go touch things around the house, right? Or after you eat a malasada, for those of you that are not from here, you have no idea what I'm talking about. It's a Portuguese donut. But once you eat a malasada, you get some oil on your fingers. And if you go and you touch my wife's car on the inside after eating malasada, she will not be very thankful for you. And then she'll go back home and she'll clean the whole thing because she doesn't want oil prints, right? No matter what you do. And if you don't even know what I'm talking about, for those of you teenagers out there, you got an oily face, just touch your face, you know, and then touch the mirror. And next thing you know, you find out that you got an oily face. It leaves a residue around, right? When you pop that zit, it's a residue on the mirror. You know those are the most gratifying ones. Stop it now. I know. You're like, yes. Some people are like, oh, that's so gross, Pastor Jake. Come on, we all been through it. And if you haven't been through it, you coming up to it, you'll know what I'm talking about in just a little bit. You know, I want to talk to you about some biblical types of anointing, and not just a type in the sense that like it's a figurative language, but there were different types of anointing. Now, this is a non-exhaustive list, just like the list I just gave you is a non-exhaustive list. But whenever you read those things, like I talked about, like water and wine and wind and breath and fire and oil and clothing, when you read about those things in the Old Testament especially, you can just read into it and put into there that it's talking about the Holy Spirit in some kind of a context. Man, when you start to do that, when you start to see that, you're going to see some amazing things open up for you in the Word of God. When you see that Joseph had a coat of many colors, it's going to just begin to open up for you that that was a type of the Holy Spirit in all these different colors and shades and all the different kinds of things that were upon him. It was a special coat that was made just for him, not for anybody else. You start reading that, and my goodness, the Word of God begins to come alive to you. So let me talk to you about a few types of biblical anointing, a non-exhaustive list. Here's the first type. I want to talk to you a little bit about the poured on anointing. So get that. Say that with me. Poured on anointing. So it's an anointing that was poured on. Here we go. In Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 12, in the New King James Version of the Bible, it says this, and he poured some of the oil, anointing oil, on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. So Moses poured this oil on Aaron's head. Now, if you're thinking about that a little bit, I'm thinking like, man, I don't know if I'd really appreciate somebody pouring oil on my head. Sometimes, you know, I just feel like sometimes I need to wash my hair like right in the middle of the day because my scalp feels oily. Imagine someone pouring oil right on top of your head. But it begins to flow, doesn't it? It begins to saturate. It gets everywhere, doesn't it? Here's the next one in Psalm chapter 133, verses 1 and 2. It says this, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil. Say precious. It's like Gollum, my precious. You know, it's the precious oil that's poured upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. So that must have been a good quantity of oil, right? It wasn't just a drip or a drop. It was enough to cover him from the top of his head down over his beard, and it was enough to get to the edges of his garment. In other words, there is a lot of anointing to be had. It will drip all the way down. It is good for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the anointing that's poured down. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says this, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." Let me pause right there for a moment. Jesus is the head of the church. And when the oil was poured upon the head, it began to run down. We have to understand that Jesus, as the head of the church, received the anointing of God. The Bible says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, if God was with Jesus, guess what? God's with us too, because we're connected to the head, right? Verse 16, "From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." I wanted to make the point with this scripture that we are part of the body of Christ. And like Michelle was sharing, it's not somebody else's job. It's for me to do. If I am a joint in the body, if I am a part of the body of Jesus Christ, I have something to contribute. Whether it's just my hands, whether it's my feet, whether it's my words, whether it's my time, whether it's my energy, whether it's my support, whether it's my efforts to help other people, whether it's my efforts to pray for others, it is my part to play in the heart and in the kingdom and in the body of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, please do your part. You know, if you don't do your part, can you imagine if your kidney didn't do its part or your kidneys didn't do their parts? There's a problem, right? People, when their kidneys are not working anymore, I'm believing for a friend of mine to have his kidneys completely restored in the name of Jesus. Because without it, the doctors say he's headed for having to have a machine do it for him in a process of dialysis. Now, I'm believing that that report is going to be canceled for him and that his kidneys will be remade by the Spirit of God. Now, when our kidneys are not working, we don't have the filtration. See, if our liver stops doing its job, we've got problems with the purification system in our body. Can you imagine if your mouth stopped doing its job? Some of us would not be subjected to the Momona virus anymore. Right? We would get thin all of a sudden because we cannot eat. Imagine if your thumb stopped doing its job. It would be very difficult to hold your Starbucks coffee cup like this, right? If you had no thumb, it would be hard to do. We need every part doing its job. My friend, I'm talking to you today. You need to do your job. You need to do your destiny. You need to do your calling. I beg you, don't wait for someone else to do what God is calling you to do. Just hop on in. And guess what? Just like Moses, God says, "And I will be with you." When you decide to step out into the plan and purpose of God, the anointing of God comes to bear on you, and God will be with you. Can you say amen? Why? You're attached to the head, and the head is Jesus Christ. I know some of you may not know that out here. I've said it before, but it bears saying again. That name Christ, Jesus Christ, Christ was not Jesus's last name, right? Christ is a title, and the word Christ means this. It means the anointed one and his anointing. So when you see Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, it means Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing, the Son of the living God. We need that anointing that's on Jesus. See, Jesus is the head of the body, and his anointing runs down on us. It's so important to know that the poured on anointing doesn't stop at the head, but it keeps on running down the beard and all the way down to the ends and the fringes of the garment. So even if you're fringy, maybe you're a fringy Christian, the anointing can still get on you. But I'm going to tell you what, don't be a fringy Christian. You know why? Because my dog likes to bite fringe. Right? You don't want to be at the fringe. You don't want to be on the outside. Anytime that an animal gets attacked in the wild, it's because they're on the fringe. Don't be on the fringe. Be on the inner circle where you don't get attacked very much, right? we need to have the anointing of God running on us. By the way, I want to make it very clear that it is the same anointing that was on Jesus that's on us. It's not a different anointing. We're going to come up to that scripture in a little while, but it's found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. It is the same anointing. You know, a lot of people put Jesus into a different class of Christian, a different class of perfection than we are in. But you know, if you read your Bible, you'll find out that that classification is absolutely wrong. The Bible says that Jesus died so that we would be the first, that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Remember, brothers and sisters all have the same genetic code. They all have the same father and mother. They all have the same. See, Jesus is our brother. He was just the same like we are. The Bible says he was at all points tempted like as we were, yet without sin. The only difference between you and me and Jesus is that he made different choices. The only difference after being born again with you and me and Jesus is that he lived controlled by the Holy Spirit when we many times choose to not to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Man, the quality of who Jesus was is the quality of life that you can have too. I don't have time to go into all of it, but Jesus doesn't look at us as being lesser than. We have the same anointing. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same mind. We have the same faith. We have the same Father. We have all the same benefits that Jesus has. The only drawback that you and I have is this thing called a memory. We remember how far short we've fallen from the glory of God. But if we would pay attention to the payment at Calvary rather than the failures of our past, we would start to live the same kind of life that Jesus lived on earth. We need the poured on anointing. It's the same anointing that was poured on Jesus that's poured on you. I know it's so hard to believe it, but it is the same anointing. It's the same Holy Spirit. You didn't get a junior Holy Ghost. You got the same Holy Spirit that Jesus got. Amen? All right, here's the next kind of anointing, because I got to move along. The next kind of anointing, so first we have the poured on anointing. I want to talk to you for a moment about the rubbed in anointing. The rubbed in anointing. Say rubbed in. Rubbed in. I like rubbed in anointing. I think about a massage. I love getting massages. They're awesome, as long as they're good massages. But the rubbed in anointing, I want to have you think about it this way. The rubbed in anointing goes in deeper and penetrates further to effect change. It's like it just gets in there, right? It gets into your skin. It gets in you, not just on you. It gets in you. Isaiah chapter 21 and verse 5, it says this, prepare the table. Set a watchman in the tower. Eat and drink. Arise, you princes. Anoint the shield. What does that have anything to do with anything, Pastor Jake? I'm so glad that you asked. I've got a good answer for you. You know this word anoint? When you look at the definition of this word in the original language, this word means to rub in. It means to rub it in. It means to make sure that you massage it in. It is to smear on. It is the smearing of God on your life. You ever have someone smear something? It is smeared on your life. And this rubbed in anointing was meant for the shield. Now, how does this apply to your life? It is so important that you have the rubbed in anointing when it comes time for battle. Here's the thing, is that we need the anointing to give us resilience and flexibility in the fight. So in the old days, sometimes they had shields that had a wooden frame, but then it was stretched thick leather over the top, which made the surface of the shield. Now, if you know anything about leather, if you've been around, saddlery, or you've been around boots, or you've had a leather jacket or something like that that you actually took care of, or a leather purse or a leather satchel of some sort, you know that if you don't take care of that leather, eventually it will get brittle, it'll start to crack, and it will lose all of its strength. The next thing you know, you're trying to pick up your backpack and the strap just breaks. You know that wouldn't have happened if you had kept it anointed. If you had kept it full of that oil and moisture. So what the people in the military used to do is that all along they would be maintaining their shields. But it was important before a battle to make sure that they would get oil and that they would not just rub it on, but they would rub it in. They wouldn't just pour it on. They would rub it in and massage it into the leather so that it had flexibility, so that it had resiliency in the fight. I mean, you don't want an arrow coming to you and your shield just like gives up the ghost, right? You want to make sure that it is resilient in the fight. That's why we need the rubbed in anointing. Otherwise, we might break under the attack. My friend, I want to tell you this right now, and I know that out there, there are so many people that are struggling. It's been a long haul for a lot of people when it comes to lockdowns and mandates and adjustments and isolation and all those things. And maybe you're in the middle of a fight. Maybe you're one of those households where things have gotten rougher in your household because everyone's under stress and everybody's under tension and there's domestics going on and you're at each other and maybe you feel like you want to give up the fight. My friend, this is where you need the rubbed in anointing. If you are breaking under the attack, maybe you need to rub in the anointing. Maybe it's not enough to just pour it on a Sunday morning and on a Wednesday night. Maybe throughout the week you need to spend some time rubbing in that anointing. Don't just slap it on there, but spend some time massaging that anointing, that presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Soak yourself in it. Get in it and rub that stuff in to your spirit, because if your shield is breaking, you, my friend, need resilience and flexibility. And the way to get that is from the rubbed in anointing. Here's another verse that's so powerful. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, it says this: I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. You know, this anointing, this rubbed in, smeared on anointing, we need that for our eyes, y'all. We need that because the anointing helps us to see the way that we should. The Holy Spirit helps us to see the way that we should. If we're not seeing people and circumstances and situations the way that we should, we need the anointing to be applied to our eyes, our spiritual eyes. Like my dad always says, don't just see with your eyes, see through your eyes. Make sure that you're seeing with the eyes of the Holy Spirit through what you see. Let me say it this way. The anointing helps us to have the God lens we desperately need. You know, we need to see how God sees. Do you know that God is not depressed? Do you know that God is not worried that it's not possible? Do you know that God is not looking at the situation or even your life and saying, I can't do anything with that? There's no hope. God is not hopeless in heaven. God is looking down at your life, and you know what he sees? He doesn't see your failures. He sees your potential. He doesn't see your shortcomings. He sees your destiny. When God looks at you, he sees the greatness of the treasure. See, the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. When God sees inside of you, he doesn't see the dirt and the muck and all of the stuff that needs to be taken out. He sees the gold that's in you. I'm telling you right now that if you would begin to see yourself how God sees you with that eye salve on your eyes, you would see correctly and you would have hope for your situation. If you could see other people around you, you wouldn't think of them as being that dummy that you got to talk to later on. You'll see them as the gift of God in your life to sharpen you and to be a blessing in your world. When you look at your church, you won't see a broke down, beat up, whatever place. You'll see the hope of God in that place. When you see your pastors, oh, thank God that you look at me through God's eyes. See, because if you look at me through your eyes, it's pretty bleak. But if you can see me through God's eyes, you know what? God has great hope for me yet, and you can have hope for me too. And I know that your life will take on a whole new flavor and fragrance if you'll just let God rub his salve on your eyes. We need the God lens to see the way that we should. You know, I've heard so many people say it like this. I've heard so many people say, well, see, I just don't see it that way, Jesus. I just don't see it that way. Guess what? You're wrong. He's right. I don't know. I mean, I know sometimes when you say things really straight like that in our current climate, it's like, oh my gosh, you're so mean. There are no participation trophies in heaven. We have to win. And the way that we win is that we give God our very best. And we allow ourselves to be availed to him. And you know what? We change our way to his way. Our way is not his way. And his way is not our way. That means that one of them is wrong and it's not him. Amen? Amen. If somebody's wrong in this relationship, it's me. So I need to get that right. I need to see the way that Jesus sees, and the only way that I can do that is through the anointing. So we've talked about the poured on anointing. We've talked about the rubbed in anointing. This next one, if you'll bear with me, is going to set some people free today. I want to talk to you about the poured in anointing. Say that with me, the poured in anointing. The poured in anointing. Pouring on is very different than pouring in. The poured in anointing. In Luke chapter 10, verses 33 through 34, we come upon this story of the Good Samaritan. Maybe some of you have heard it. Maybe you grew up hearing it. Maybe you've heard about it in legal terms, the Good Samaritan clause or whatever. That if you try to help somebody, you're not going to get in trouble if for some reason it turns out badly, right? In Luke chapter 10, 33 through 34, it says this, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him," this is a guy that was journeying and had been beaten and accosted by thieves and left for dead on the side of the road. "When he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him." Now, first of all, I just want to say I believe that this is a type and the shadow of who we are meant to be as Christians, and that we are meant to bring people who are broken and wounded and hurt and bring them into the hospital of God. The Bible says the sick are the ones that need a doctor. The Bible says the well do not need a doctor, but those who are sick need a doctor. You know, so many churches are gathering places for the ones that put on a perfect act. We're not looking for people to be perfect here. We're looking for people to be authentic. And when people are authentic, then what happens is that our authenticity brings us to a place of where we can be healed. See, when people come to the church, we expect them to be broken. The church is a hospital, not a morgue. You know what I mean? We don't need the chosen frozen to be in the house of God. We need people that are real and that have real hurts and damages and wounds, and the great physician will attend to them. His name is Jesus. Here's something that is absolutely going to probably blow your mind, because it blew my mind. You know that word wound? So it says that he bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine in them. You know that word wound? In the Latin, this word wound is the word vulnus in the Latin, and that is the word where we get our word vulnerable. Isn't that interesting? That this man had vulnerabilities in his life. And when he was vulnerable in his life, this Samaritan who I guess I don't have time to explain it. He was a half-breed. He wasn't even the chosen of God. There were people that came past. The priest and the Levite came past, and they wouldn't even deal with this guy that was beaten and broken on the side of the road. But a half-breed that was accepted nowhere decided that he would hop in and get right into the middle of the muck and the mire and get in this with this guy and his vulnerabilities and pour in the oil and the wine. I want to say it to you this way. The Holy Spirit is able to heal our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses when we let him into our wounds. Yeah. You know, some people have taken wounds so far that they've buried them so deep And they've buried it under things like scar tissue that don't feel anymore. They've buried it under a great personality. They've buried it under a pleasant smile. They've buried it under their social media platform presence. They've buried it under what it is that they put out there so that you think that they're strong, so that you think that they're mighty, so that you think that they've got it all together. And inside, they have wounds upon wounds upon wounds. You know, there's an interesting statistic out there, and I don't know exactly the numbers, and I'm not throwing people under the bus today just because it's Valentine's Day, but you know, there are statistics out there that show that people that post on their social media feeds the most positive things about their spouse or their significant other and just, you know, put all of these huge congratulations and everything out there, they actually have the weakest, worst relationships. I don't know why. That's just what the statistic is. Now, I'm not saying don't say anything. If you're going to say something good, say something good. That's great. But also, I hope that it's coming from a place of authenticity, that your relationship is really awesome and that you're not just blowing smoke. I hope that your lives and that your relationships, that my relationships are healed and whole, and that we minister from that, not from a place of being fake. I hope that in the Christian church that one thing you never do is fake it till you make it. Don't do it. You don't need to fake it till you make it. Some other person said it this way, faith it till you make it. You want to faith it. You want to get the word of God in you. Let the word of God get into your wounds. The Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit not received will not bring healing into our life. In other words, you know, like a lot of people might take an aspirin or a Motrin or something for a headache. Look, if you just put the aspirin bottle or the Motrin bottle on the counter and you just look at it and you're like, man, I got this headache. Do you know that it is not going to affect your headache one bit? It's going to stare right back at you and be like, what I got, you got to get it put in you, for those Red Hot Chili Pepper fans. You got to get the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You cannot leave the Holy Spirit on the outside. The Holy Spirit not received will not make a hill of beans difference in your life. We've got to receive him and let him bring healing into our lives. I want to put it to you this way, that the wounds and the vulnerabilities that we carry need to be exposed to the Holy Spirit rather than hidden and buried from his touch. Do you know, I feel like this is so basic, but I feel like we hide behind sophistication so much. And the Bible says that boldness, the definition of boldness, is great plainness of speech. So let me say it real boldly, real plainly. Let me say it to you like this, that when we hide things, do you know that the Holy Spirit isn't like, oh my gosh, where did it go? I don't see it anymore. Holy smokes, that's amazing. Do you know that the Holy Spirit sees everything? He sees every cellulite bump. He sees every weird thing that he sees, every freckle, every mole. I mean, he knows what you look like without clothes on before you ever take your clothes off. He knows what you look like in the shower. He knows what you look like without makeup. He knows what you look like when you don't do your hair. He knows everything. He knows all of the things that we hide from other people. So why do we hide it from the Holy Spirit, or let me put it this way, why do we try to hide it from the Holy Spirit when he sees it anyway? The Bible says all things are laid bare. I mean, when we get to heaven and when we get to the white throne judgment, it's not going to be like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that that stuff was there. Now we got to deal with it. No, it's going to all be written down that that's what was there. But you know what the Holy Spirit wants to do? He wants to get those things open and aired out so that healing can come in. I've talked to you guys about this before, so many of us, that, you know, we get a little splinter in our finger, a sliver or whatever of wood, and if we just cover it over and pretend like it's not there, like, you know, if you've got a bill that's past due and you just stick it in the drawer and shut the drawer, it's not that the bill goes away, right? You know that, right? The bill is still going to come due. Someone's going to call. And that's the thing, is that we all know this in our hearts, that no matter the wounds that we carry, someday that bill is going to come due. And we're just fearing the day that someone comes knocking on that door. You know how we take care of it? We take care of it. You know how we take care of it? Just like that splinter, if you just cover it and leave it, eventually that thing will turn septic and it'll kill you. Just a little splinter, because it'll get infected. But you know, the way to take care of that is that we've got to cause a little bit of pain to open up that skin so that that splinter can come out and the healing salve can get in. My friend, I'm talking to you today. See, you're so safe in your living room right now. You're so safe in your car right now. You're so safe right where you're at because I'm not staring at you even though it looks like I am. I totally cannot see you right now. And you can deal with whatever it is that you've got going on and just say, Holy Spirit, here it is. You already know it's there. I'm not hiding anything from you. Here it is. Now pour in the anointing. Now pour in the oil. See, he already knows our imperfections and our vulnerabilities. He knows our wounds. But unless we let him have his way in them, we will not be healed. You know, there are some people that go to the hospital and then they maybe they're taken to the hospital and then they fight the ones trying to heal them. They fight the physician and they got to strap them down. You know, don't make the Holy Spirit strap you down. Don't fight the Holy Spirit. Give in to the Holy Spirit. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to heal you. Look, if God wanted you to be dead, you'd be dead. But he wants you to live. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus wants you to live life to the full. But you cannot live it to the full when your glass is so full of all the muck that you've already been through. You've got to allow him to pour in and get all of the other yuck out so that you can live it to the full. Don't be half full of junk and half full of good. Let God purge out the junk and heal your wounds. Let me say it to you this way. And man, you know what? I got to be honest. I didn't learn this principle very long ago. This was something that I had to come to tremendous terms with in my own life because I've dealt with things in one particular way for so many years, my whole life, until just a few years ago. This is the principle that I learned. Here it is. Go ahead and put it up on the screen, you guys. Hidden does not mean healed. Hidden does not mean healed. In other words, when you've got a broken relationship with someone, avoiding them doesn't heal that relationship. When you've got offense with one another, burying the offense does not heal that relationship. When I'm talking to you out of having to live through this because even between my sister and I, there were things that I just avoided. And it caused that our relationship was not close. And you know what I had to do? I had to go back through years of things that I had buried and left alone and ignored and turned my back on and all that. And I had to ask for forgiveness for not addressing it. Not because she was hurting me, but because I just didn't even want to pay attention to some things where there had been brokenness in relationship. Hidden does not mean healed. My friend, I'm begging you today to come to healing, not to hidden things. I'm asking you to bring your heart exposed, laid bare to the Holy Spirit and let him pour in the oil to heal. If you look back into the Bible days, pouring in oil and wine, remember, both of those are types of the Holy Spirit. It didn't just get on that wound, it got in that wound. It helped to begin to heal that wound, but we've got to open that wound. Sometimes it's things that are buried that have been healed over by scar tissue. You might not know this about me, but on my knee, I had a huge keloid scar, one of those big, nasty, raised scars because I'm part Black and I'm also part Asian, and we're prone and susceptible to having those things. Bet you didn't know you were coming to a Black church, see? But you see, I had this huge thing on my knee, and you'd love to hear the story someday because it happened because of dolphins, right? So I had this big scar on my knee, and it wouldn't go away, and it was sensitive, and I couldn't kneel down on that knee and everything, and you know what I had to do? I had to go to the doctors, and I had to have them cut it off and re-suture that. So they had to reopen a wound that had had a huge layer of scar tissue on top of it. And it was an uncomfortable process because they had to go really deep into all the layers of my skin. And they had to put sutures in the bottom layer and then in the top layer and try to make it look as nice as they possibly could. And you know, what I'm trying to tell you today is that some things that you've buried under some thick scar tissue, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to take the word of God. See, the Bible says the word is sharper than any two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Man, the scalpel of the Holy Spirit is so sharp, you won't even feel it cut you. And it'll start to open up your heart. And if you allow the anointing to pour in and to pour in and to pour in, healing will come. Not fake healing, true healing. See, we want to be truly healed. We don't just want to endure, we want to be healed. Can you say amen? I've told people for so many years, hey, look, if your back is hurting you or whatever, maybe you should not work out tonight. No, I'm just going to take Motrin. So what you're going to do is you're going to mask your pain so that you can continue to hurt yourself some more because your body's telling you to stop. Yeah. Don't do that when it comes to God. Yeah. Allow yourself to be healed by the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Yeah. Man, I feel that so strong. I've spent so long on this, but somebody out there, many people out there, so many of us out there need to understand this. Hidden is not healed. We must allow the Holy Spirit to get in there. Get in there. Can you say amen? Yeah. Oh, man, I'm running out of time. I got to talk to you about the anointing within. So we've talked about the poured on anointing. We've talked about the rubbed in anointing. We've talked about the poured in anointing. And now I want to talk to you about the anointing within, or the anointing that resides. You know, Jesus wants you to have an anointing that dwells, that abides, that lives, that is deep on the inside of you. Next week's message, I'm going to tell you right up front so you can psych yourself up for it. It's going to be a little bit rough. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be enlightening. Because we're going to need to take a little side trip and talk about ministry in the anointing and our responsibility as Christians to live and to walk in supernatural living and supernatural ministry. It's not enough to keep just attending church anymore. That's not enough. That is beyond the bare, that is below the bare minimum. That's not enough. We need to begin to live kingdom life. And God is calling us higher. Amen? Will you say that with me? Jesus is calling me higher. You got to come back next week because I'm going to talk to you about that higher way of living. Paul says, I show to you a more excellent way. Amen? 1 John chapter 2, 27 says this, but the anointing which you have received from him, talking about Jesus, abides in you. See, remember, I told you it's the same anointing. You got it from him. It lives in you. And you don't need anyone to teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So the anointing's living in you, and you're living in Jesus Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. So the anointing lives in you, and you're living in the anointing. It's a pretty awesome anointed place. Amen. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17 says this, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. By the way, that's the Holy Ghost, that he may abide with you forever. That means he's going to live with you forever. He's not just renting. He's going to live with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. By the way, I want to take this and go back to my previous point about being healed. See, when our life is broken on the inside, the Holy Spirit wants to live on the inside. So why would we want to make the outside look good and the inside is all busted up and then ask the Holy One of Israel to live on the inside of us? Here, come live on this shack on the inside. No, let's not do that. Like, you know, like that show Hoarders, Buried Alive or whatever. Like, don't be a hoarder of hurts when the Holy Spirit wants to have free reign in your life. Let's clean it up. John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. He who believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, or in another translation, out of his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. My friend, Jesus wants you to receive the Holy Spirit. If you have not received the Holy Spirit yet, you need to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus needed it. You need it even more. My goodness, we need the Holy Spirit. And we're going to set up a time where we can pray for you so you can receive the Holy Spirit. And there is no one on this planet that is saved that cannot receive the Holy Spirit. You are not so special that you cannot receive the Holy Ghost. You just need to desire him earnestly. Look, Jesus doesn't just want us to go to the well. He wants us to have a well with us wherever we go. He doesn't just want us to come to church on Sunday and be like, "Woo, I felt that." And then 2 hours later, you're like, "Man, I need to go back to church again." I mean, you should always want to go to church, but there's a different reason. It's not because you're dying and fading out. It's because you've got something to contribute. You shouldn't want to go to a potluck just because everybody else is bringing something awesome. It's because you're bringing something awesome and you can't wait for everybody else to try it. Don't be the guy that shows up with an empty pot hoping to get lucky. You know what I mean? That's not what potluck means. Here's what the well is. The well is this. It is the Holy Spirit on demand. Now, I'm not talking about like DVR and all that stuff, like on demand. I'm talking about that whenever you need the Holy Spirit, you don't have to be like, "You know, I would totally pray for you right now, but like I'm going to have to fast and pray for like 3 days. And then I'll come back and I'll pray for you." Look, what if they're on their deathbed and they don't have 3 days? We need to be instant, in season, out of season. We've got to be instant on. You know what I'm talking about? We need to be instant on. And how do we do that? We carry a well with us. We have the Holy Spirit in excess in our life. It is the Holy Spirit on demand. You know, by fostering the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in residence, we become a life-giving resource to anyone in need. You know, one of the things that I would never want to have to say to somebody is, "I feel so badly for your situation. I'm sorry that there's nothing I can do to help you." Why? Because I'm a helper. And you know, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you've always got enough. When you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got everything that you need. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Spirit of grace, God's divine ability. It's no longer impossible. You can do something about it. I don't ever want to look somebody in the eyes ever again and tell them, "I'm sorry, but I can't do anything about it." Do you know that whenever anybody asks Jesus, "Will you?" He always says, "I will." Never once did he say, "I can't. I can't do anything about it. I'm so sorry." And it's not because he was Jesus. It's because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and had the well of anointing in him. And you have that same Holy Ghost. You have that same well. You have that same Spirit of God. There is no difference. You are the brother or sister of Jesus Christ himself. You are the same. So let's take the Holy Spirit to the world around us. Amen? You know, what happens is that when we get the Holy Spirit to live in us, that transition takes us from being takers to givers. You know, there's some people that come to church and all they ever do is receive, 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 which is great. But what if you came to give once in a while? What if you stopped being a sucker and you became a giver? It's so important that we bring something to the table. Can you say amen? You know, I promise you, I'm almost done. We've got to remember that we're not the source. The Holy Spirit is the source, but the source dwells in us. So we're constantly receiving, but we're constantly giving. It's just like a pipeline, right? The pipe passes everything that's on the inside of it through it, but the pipe always gets wet on the inside. It participates in the delivery of what it is that it is sending to the world around him. You know, we've got to become that pipeline for the people around us. We've got to be a distributor of the anointing. We've got to be a distributor of the grace of God, a distributor of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It says this, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, listen, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to be a giver of the Holy Spirit than simply a receiver of the Holy Spirit. My friend, I want to challenge you to grow up. You know, I want to say this gently. You know, kids are selfish. Kids are selfish. It's all about them, isn't it? It's like when they want their diaper changed, when they want to eat, it's when they want to go to sleep, it's when they don't want to go to sleep. It's all of those things, right? They're selfish, and they're always crying about it. Don't be a baby Christian, right? Grow up a little bit and stop being all about ourselves. Oh, I just don't feel fed by the pastor. Look, read your Bible, you'll get fed. The Bible says this. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. The Bible says that babies should desire the sincere milk of the word. Quit being a baby in the house of God. Let's grow up and chew on some meat, because everybody knows that meat is better than milk. It's just truth. It's facts. It's science. It's science. Meat is better than milk. See, we've got to get our teeth into something. Look, if you ain't got no teeth yet, I'm going to pray for you that you're going to grow some teeth so you can get off the milk and get onto the meat. But that means that we become a doer of the word of God, because my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. By the way, it is more blessed to give than to receive. See, when you receive one time. When you give, it can be blessed 30, 60, 100-fold. It can turn into an orchard. It can turn into a perennial blessing. It can turn into a lifetime that goes from generation to generation to generation. But we've got to go from takers to givers. Let's stop just being Holy Ghost sponges, because I know all of you just like to soak it up. But you know what? Let's start giving it out too. Can you say amen to that? Let me give you just one thing. I'm going to end here. And if you have not met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to start by giving you Jesus Christ. Just one thing to remember. Here's just one thing. We need the Holy Spirit and the anointing in order to become the blessing God intends for us to be. See, we're not just meant to give a blessing. We're meant to be the blessing. And when you are a carrier of the Holy One of God, you are the blessing to the world around you because of the one that lives in you. So this week, pour it on, rub it in, pour it in, let it live in you, and let it live through you. I hope that you can say a big, hearty amen to that. Now, my friend, if you've not met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and maybe you don't even know about this Holy Spirit yet, that's okay, because if you don't receive Jesus, you can't receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe you want all of the benefits of the Holy Spirit without the responsibility of Jesus. You can't have both of those at the same time. You need to have Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to meet him. Jesus is the lover of your soul. He is the best lover that you'll ever have of your soul. On Valentine's Day, we can talk about that kind of stuff. And Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his entire life for you. Nobody else has done that, not even Bruno Mars, who will catch a grenade for you. You know, Jesus literally gave his life for you and for me. Why? So that you could have his life and he could take your broken, wounded, damaged, vulnerable life so you could have his perfect, whole, healed, blessed, spirit-filled life. How do you do it? The Bible says you have to do two things. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That means that you have to believe that Jesus died. He died for your sin to take your place, because otherwise you would have to die for your own sin. The second thing the Bible says that you need to do is you need to believe, or you need to confess with your mouth, that Jesus is the Lord of your life. That means that you are giving him first place. You're giving him control. You're submitting to him, surrendering to him, and letting him lead you and guide you, and that you follow and do what it is that he wants you to do. If you can do those two things, believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Jesus as the Lord of your life, you can be saved today. That means that you can become a part of God's family and become a child of God. And the door to the Holy Spirit becomes open to you. Now today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you right now. I'm going to pray a prayer, and all you need to do is just repeat after me. It's not repeating a prayer that saves you. It's doing business with Jesus Christ that saves you. Hey, if you've been away from Jesus and you've been the Lord of your own life for a while, and you need to come back home and come back under the Lordship of Jesus, this is a great time to do that, to recommit your life to Jesus being the Lord of your life. If you want to do that right now, you can do that with us. I'm going to ask everyone in this room if you would pray with me. If you're out there and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can pray with us too. And especially if you're giving your life to Jesus for the first time or recommitting your life to Him, I hope that you'll pray with me right now and mean it in your heart to the Lord. Come on, let's pray. Would you bow your heads and your hearts and let's pray? You just repeat after me and mean it to the Lord. Let's pray. Dear God, I come before you in Jesus' name. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that he paid the price for my sins. And I give my life to him now to do a great exchange with him now. I give him lordship over my life. I will follow him. I will submit to him. I'll do what he wants me to do. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Because of these things, I know that I am saved. I've become a child of God. And I know that my destination is heaven. I'm open to the Holy Spirit working in my life and healing my life. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, would you just drop a comment into our comment stream or email us, message us, call us, and let us know you got saved today or that you gave your life to Jesus today. If you recommitted your life to Jesus, would you drop that into the comments and just let us know you recommitted your life to Jesus today, no matter which of those you did. We want to send you a brand new Bible. We want to send you a blessing that is really going to be awesome. You're going to love it. And then we want to tell you how you can take your next step in Jesus Christ. I promise you, we're not going to spam you. We just want to bless you, and that's it. We hope that you'll come back next week to be with us again. Come on Wednesday night for prayer, 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time, followed by a time of communion, and then come back and join us again on next week, Sunday, 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time, for a time of praise and worship and preaching the next installment in the series on how to live a supernatural life. Last of all, I just want to remind you, please register for our in-person event, February 28th at the Alohilani Resort. Register on our website or register right there on our app as well. We love you. We bless you. We declare the goodness of God in your life, and we pray that you would be whole, blessed, and healed in Jesus' name. Have a great day.